Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. Well, I know what's right. I got just one life. In a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We are coming to you live this March 24th, 2018, and we say welcome to you folks out there. We do have the gentleman on the line. Good morning, men.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we'll ask John if he'll open us up with a word of prayer this morning.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly, Lord. So many things are going on in the world that we don't understand. Lord, it seems like the victory's drawing closer, and then we receive a strong blow and what looks like defeat from the enemy. But Lord, we know that you work in mysterious ways. Your ways are not our ways. And Lord, at this time we pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We continue to cry out for grace and mercy to be upon your people. We, your people who are called by your name, continue to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways so that you will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal the land. But I believe this defeat is due to the lack of prayer power of your people, those who did bow their knee and pray fervently for Hillary Clinton's failure. Father, I ask that you would reignite that spirit throughout the land to bring those evildoers to justice. Father, we continue to pray that those things that were done in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. We just continue to cry out, Lord, that you would grant us wisdom and understanding and discernment in these things. Father, we ask that you would bind those that seek to cause divisions within your people. We ask that you would draw us closer together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and through it all, closer to you. Continue to reveal those things that are hidden in your word in the proper time. Twice your word says that these things are to be sealed up until the last day. Well, we can see that even through the schedules of time, the calendars of times gone by, that we're approaching that time. I ask that you would grant the patriarchs of each household wisdom. Father, that you would allow us to seek and hear and obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. Give us clarity, Lord, in the things that you would have us to do. We continue to say, here we are, Lord, use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? Guide and direct this broadcast this morning. Give us the words that you want your people, the remnant, to hear. We just praise you and love you and thank you, Lord, for all the good and all the trials and the tribulations that refine us into be those Christian soldiers that you want in your army, that remnant, whether it's 7,000 or 70,000, no one knows, Lord, but our desire is to serve you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, and we are of the few, Lord, that will not bow our knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. So, Father, I ask that you would cancel any satanic assignments that may have been sent against any of your people, that you would forbid the enemy from operating in our lives, and we plead the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of the Lord Jesus over ourselves and our families and all that you blessed us with, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, there's an awful lot of things going on in the world, like John prayed, and you know, as we look and see these things, you know, this week I was drawn to Hebrews chapter 11, and that's what Dad always called the faith chapter, Hall of Fame. And it starts off, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered up to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith. And though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch. And if you go down here, it's a lot of really good stories on faith. And it's a short, easy, good read. And I encourage everybody to read it. You know, as I read that this week, you know, the other scripture that came to my mind was Luke 18:8. And it says, you know, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And, you know, it'd be really easy if everything that was going on right now was going in our favor, a person wouldn't have to have faith, because it wouldn't be.
Exactly.
And so God has given us a perfect chance to exercise our faith. And without the predicament that we're in, a person wouldn't have to have faith. And I think that that's an important thing to point out, because sometimes you know, we don't know what's going on, but I think that I still believe that God's hand is moving just as powerfully and just the way he wants it to right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and let's not forget that if everything was going our way, would we even be praying? Let's not forget we're Israelites. That tends to be a problem with
stiff-necked Israelites.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's the thought. If we look at the Old Testament and look back through there, why every time Israel was blessed and everything, the next step in there, in the, you know, progression was as they fell away from God. If we're in the state right now where there's all these trials and tribulations, like we know there is, that's when they were. That God was turning to them, they were turning to God, and they were coming out of that. So, yeah, that's pretty true stuff.
You know, this week, one of the things that I noticed was, you know, up in Minnesota, that boy, they tried to pass some gun control that was just absolutely It'd make California be ashamed of their gun control policies. The bill read, from phasing out semi-automatic rifle ownership to make it a crime for anyone owing child support to owning a firearm. A gun control bill just introduced at the Capitol reaches further than any in recent memory. And while such an expansive bill typically wouldn't get play in the current legislature, its sponsor says she might try to push for debate with little-known House rule that forced another gun control hearing this week. Yeah, I'm probably going to have to do what representatives did. I'm not messing around, said DFL Representative Linda Slocum, a retired Minneapolis public school teacher from Richfield, who said she's been working on her bill since September. Several years ago, leadership said, don't do it. It puts too many members in jeopardy. This year, they said, okay, I'm running this and let the chips fall where they may. They added, it's a big issue, it's a deadly issue, and let the people decide. The bill is being declared by its opponent as gun control Armageddon. Dropping on down, let's see here, where does it start? They explained the definition. The House bill would be expand the definition of an assault weapon to include many semi-automatic pistols, rifles, or shotguns, and make possessing them a felony, with the exception of some that were legally registered before February of 2018. Those owning a grandfathered assault weapon must undergo a background check, renew their registration annually, and use them only on their property or at a shooting range. Such weapons could not be sold or transferred, only surrendered to law enforcement for destruction. Ban private gun sales or the transfer of firearms between family members or through inheritance. All sales and transfers could only go through licensed dealers. Such sales and transfers would have a two-day waiting period. A record of all gun transfers would be filed with the county. It would make possessing bump stock silencers and many large capacity magazines which hold more than 10 rounds a felony. It would require all ammunition to be purchased from a licensed dealer and require a record of all sales for 3 years. It would make it illegal for people who owe court-ordered child support to own firearms. And this is the bill, and it was getting a lot of pressure, and it was getting a lot of they were making a lot of waves with it. And I know they put out for people to gather. This is the first time that they said that they actually moved up a meeting, a hearing, and they were supposed to hear this in about 3 weeks, and they bumped it up, and they heard it earlier this week. And the people showed up, and they fought it, and they fought it, and they fought it, and got it shut down. I mean, they got it shut down the next day. So that was an answer to prayer.
Amen. Yeah, you can see that they're changing their tactics on how they're going about gun control. Since the shooting in Florida, there's several major retailers that have just flat out decided that they're not selling guns or ammo anymore. Fred Meyer and Dick's Sporting Goods, and I think there's several others. So, in a way, if they can just change the way that people think, they can, through peer pressure, I mean, you can already see that the millennials or those that are in that generation, they've already been indoctrinated to the fact that guns are bad. And a lot of the money that was appropriated in yesterday's unbelievable, but they're talking about, you know, I don't know how many billion dollars that were appropriated for school safety, but if you read that bill, none of that money can be used to arm teachers. It's all in educating or indoctrinating the children about guns being bad. That's pretty much what their way of trying to curb gun violence.
It is. Yes. I was looking at the same thing. you know, you mentioned...
And then you can see now, even there was an article about Citibank that sent a memorandum throughout their organization that said that they're not to do business. I think they sent a letter to everyone who they do business with that says, if you violate any of our new policies, then you cannot be a client of
Citibank.
And one of those was, yeah, selling guns to... It says, U.S. Commerce requires firearms only to be sold to people age 21 or older, that gun purchasers pass a background check, and restricts sales of bump stocks or high-capacity magazines. If retail clients refuse to enact Citi's best practices over the coming months, they are free to part ways with the bank. So you start getting that mindset through financial institutions and through different retailers and things like that, and that makes a significant impact too in their agenda for gun control.
Well, it just goes back to show you the golden rule: he who has the gold makes the rules. And you know, it's
they know that too well.
They do, and it's you know, it's you know, bankers dictating to stores. I mean, you know, you can have a legitimate business here. It's still legal. It's still legal in the state of Wyoming. It's still legal in the state for me to sell an AR-15 to somebody that's 18 years old. It's illegal for an 18-year-old to go into a store and purchase it. Now, Citibank runs a lot of the credit card companies. They have the credit card processing. So if you go into that store and you want to buy that with a credit card and you go to swipe your card, and all of a sudden, you know, you have a store, a gun shop, a store that sells sporting goods, and all of a sudden your credit card machine doesn't work. I mean, that's a big inconvenience. I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, that stops and halts sales because so much of it's done that way. I mean, and you can, they're talking about completely shutting them down. I mean, and it's, you know, you're going to follow my rules, even though it's not state law, even though it's not federal law. And, you know, that's a bunch of garbage. It was interesting, though, you mentioned Dick's earlier, a minute ago, John. Did you see this week that their shares fell 7.3% since they banned selling assault rifles?
That's good.
And I thought that was good. It was interesting because there was a lot of people that just said, "Okay, well, you know, that's your stand. We're not going to buy anything from you." And you know, people took a stand and made a stand, and they said, "We're done." And you know, they came out and they said, "Well, we knew that it was going to have an impact. We just really didn't realize that it was going to have this much of an impact."
They're struggling too right now with all the other big companies, especially here in Colorado, that new Shield that came in.
Yep.
And that could be the final nail in their coffin.
Yep.
Well, and at the end of the day, there's way more of us. The purchasing power and the voting with your feet with these big companies is they act all big and bad, like there are no other choices. And in some cases, there may not be. But, you know, if the market is fluid, and if nothing else, there will be. You know, I mean, it's asymmetric warfare. We've talked about it before. We see these guys do this all the time. It's just not normal, straight ahead type things. I mean, they're warring against God's people and against those things. We, you know, it sounds like just like when Jason read that bill. When you start looking at all the things they want to take away and look at the individuals that they're targeting, you know, those are core groups that they far outnumber those individuals who run those corporations or whatever. They may be one person up there who feels that way, but they got a lot of people that work in there that don't. I mean, truth be told. And there's a lot of other companies that deal with them that don't either. But eventually those things can change. And I think that's kind of a wake-up call for God's people. It's like, well, get out of that, you know, and find a godly alternative that'll work, you know, and get you around it. I know another thing on Dick's was they're being sued right now. There's a lawsuit against, I think it was Walmart and Dix was one of the other ones for sure, for refusing a sale, a legal sale to a gun they had on the shelf with somebody who was under 21. And they basically, the lawyers told them, they said, just pay the guy out of court because we're going to lose. You know, there's, and you're denying legitimate services to somebody. It's not something he can do. So,
yeah, you know, there was passed anywhere but Florida right now, as far as I know. It did pass in Florida, as far as not selling a long gun to anyone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But what I guess what people don't realize too is in hidden deep in the 1.3 trillion 22,000 page budget that was given, the representatives and senators were given less than 24 hours to review it, which in itself, by the way, if any of you are listening, should have been enough not to vote for the damn thing, at least till you read it. But
yeah,
there's the rights of 4.2 million senior citizens, our gun rights, are in jeopardy with this bill too. Just before the abomination left office, his administration finalized new regulations banning Social Security recipients from buying a gun if they have trouble managing their finances. Well, we all know that if you're living on nothing but Social Security, then you've had trouble managing your finances over the years.
Yeah.
You pretty much counted on the government to take care of you. And a lot of us learn those lessons a little later in life. Fortunately, we've been educated through our pastor for many years not to count on the government for anything. But when the Republicans took the House and the Senate back right after Trump won, they repealed that, but they snuck it back into this omnibus bill. So you can just see that there's, you know, if all of a sudden you have this group that disqualified for purchasing firearms because of psychological reasons, right, which also this thing gives the government the ability to deem who is not financially sound and who is not mentally sound, who's, you know, and not a medical profession or not a expert in the field or whatever. So you're basically giving the government the right to now exclude 4.2 million people that are on Social Security. Then you got, you know, the thing that they're trying to push with psychological problems. Well, if you're a Christian or you oppose the current administration, then you're deemed psychologically not fit. So, I mean, you look at all the different ways that they're trying to ban people from being able to purchase weapons. It's pretty diabolical, and you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and I heard, and I'm trying to confirm it right now, but I heard that when they went in to read that they had less than 1,000 minutes to read 2,300 pages.
Yeah. Well, I think the Senate, or no, the House had 20 hours total, and the Senate had 24 hours from the time it was posted online so that they could read it before the time of the vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just crazy.
I mean, that is crazy. I mean, and it's basic.
Back to Pelosi. Remember what she said? Who needs to read the bill, you know?
Find out what's in it after you pass it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Thanks. Yeah.
Well, and there's a whole room full of, I mean, everybody up there's a lawyer, you know, I mean, basically. They're, the first thing lawyers will tell you what is, don't ever sign anything without reading it or understanding it. So they don't even follow their own advice.
Well, a lot of them have teams of, you know, the most brilliant, supposedly, people that can, you know, speed read or whatever, and then they advise them based on that. So these stupid senators and representatives aren't even reading these bills anymore. And in fact, you know, they're making deals too. If they have a pet project and it's included in the bill, then boom, done. You got my vote.
Yeah, I heard somebody was...
There's no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. The fact that our representation, Mitch McConnell, which is not, you can't find him anywhere right now. He's not defending anything. He's just hiding. And Paul Ryan, they're obviously infiltrated.
In cahoots. Yeah, there's a lot of that kind of stuff that, that goes on. And you look at, it goes back to that greed issue. Another thing I heard that was in there was they actually had quite a chunk of change for Planned Parenthood, I believe, which was, as we all know.
Yeah, that was really depressing to me, to be honest with you, yesterday when I heard that they, you know, the sad thing is we're not even talking about just funding these things, like NPR and all this stuff that they said they were going to get rid of. They've increased their funding substantially. Now, the only good news is that supposedly this is only a six-month deal before it has to be, I think it has to be voted on again, but I'm not sure about that. And there may be something in the works. I know for a fact that there's a lot going on in regards to Answer to Our Prayer, that the things in the dark be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops, that most people don't know and don't see. And that is that I believe that the Department of Justice, Jeff Sessions, and a few congressmen that may still have some integrity, some fear of God, some biblical understanding of justice, are working behind the scenes. And the wave of people that may be indicted is pretty unbelievable, to the point of you think we saw riots and things with some of these so-called unjust verdicts with white on black, you know, cops killing black pedestrians or whatever. This would you know, just expedite that unbelievably. So I don't know if you see any of that. So that's what I'm still praying. I'm still praying that the things in the dark would be brought to the light, and that justice would be served, that all of these evildoers would be brought out into the open, and that they, I'm praying that they receive the punishment, biblical punishment for what they've done, not just the man's punishment.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Well, and they're talking about, I seen a little clip from, I think, here just yesterday, and they were talking about, as far as the, I guess the DOJ, or the, there's a panel coming up on this DOJ thing, as far as the fact that there's been facts hid from Congress in regards to, you know, the Russiagate probe with Trump and everything else, and that it goes back to a lot of those sort of things. And basically what it ties into is it goes back into the Clinton dynasty. And there's a lot of possibility of that being brought to light. And we all know that the things that have gone on through the Clinton-Obama eras were ungodly, unrighteous, dark things. And it would be just, to me, a gift from God to see those people exposed. I mean, I don't even think, as much as I have an idea of a lot of the things that went on, I don't think the depth of it is just deep, you know. So, and I pray that too, that those things will be brought to light. We'll see what's going on there and see how, and see them pay for their crimes, not necessarily against us, but they've a lot of crimes against God. I mean, you know, they all are. They've committed horrible acts. And in God's people's names, because supposedly they led the country, you know. So, even though they weren't.
Well, you can see we've talked about it on Coffee with the Ringlers for several months now, I think since the beginning of the year, but they've basically let out that there's 5,000-plus sealed indictments. And the good news is yesterday it was revealed publicly that there is a grand jury seated to go through those indictments. And I think how it works is they form a grand jury and they bring the accusations to the grand jury, and the grand jury then determines whether there's enough grounds to go forward with prosecution. And then once that's determined, then they make the provisions to make sure that those people can't leave the country. They revoke their visas or their passports, and then they come in. But I'd also read articles that the Marines were standing by to enforce some of these indictments, because what they're saying is it's entirely possible officials within the CIA, NSA, DOJ, FBI, State Department, ODNI, whatever that is, and national security apparatus, along with the Obama White House, Clinton campaign officials, politicians, career bureaucrats, and possibly judges, are all intertwined and involved with the most, with the worst political corruptness ever in the history of the country.
Wow.
So that's pretty encouraging, in my opinion.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, and that may be the big pressure. That's a lot of the pressure, I think, on just like this, all these gun control bills we see and everything else. It's a big battle up there going on. And the default is, well, let's get these people. We don't need these people armed. That could work against us. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, the ultimate goal is that, on both sides, at least of what's seated now, is civil war. Because if they can get a civil war going, then they can get their, you know, suspend habeas corpus and martial law.
Absolutely.
Well, and if you look at the countries that gave up their guns, are the countries that they've been bringing all these legal and illegal migrants in. That's where they've been infiltrating all these people and refugees, bringing the refugees in like crazy. And you look what's happened to there. I mean, over the last 10 years, what's happened in Germany is the stabbings have went up 1,200% in 10 years. And it's all because of refugees, all the weapons were taken away from them ahead of time. You know, I mean, the same thing with Sweden. You know, they're bringing in the refugees, but they disarmed them first. You know, they disarm them first, and then they come in, and it's an act of warfare. And that's what people need to wrap their head around, is that this is warfare. In war, that's what one of your objectives is to disarm your enemy. Is the guys over there that are on the other side, you don't want them to have guns.
Right.
And then you send your and then you send in your soldiers, and you fight them, and it's a lot easier to fight an enemy that doesn't have a weapon. And that's what, I mean, people need to start thinking war tactics. I mean, this is what is going on.
Well, here's the deal, too. In the event that, I mean, we're facing here in November between the midterm elections of the House of Representatives and Senators. I mean, I don't like to think about the things that are going on in the world, but let's face it, the things that are going on in the world,
they affect us
while we're here.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's kind of important that we understand that right now, what happened yesterday with the omnibus bill or whatever the heck you call it, it disheartened a lot of people who rose up and voted for Trump. But we need to fully understand the fact that he's one man. There's a whole bunch of people in there, and the swamp's been going for over 20 years. I mean, the Bushes were part of the swamp. George Bush Sr., you can go back and look 10 years to the day from 9/11, was the first time that he publicly proclaimed the New World Order. Just this week, Hillary Clinton, when she was whining about Trump's tactics during the election, said he's disrupting the global government. Now, those are her words. So here's what we need to understand, is if we lose the House and the Senate in November, they will have the power to impeach President Trump. And when the Democrats, Antichrist Democrats, by the way, take over power again, they're not going to play games. They're not going to try to hide these things from the people. They're going full force with everything that they want, because in reality, only God can stop them, right?
Yep.
That's right.
But, see, I still think we need to do our part while here on this earth to at least pray for the Lord's will to be done, to at least continue to pray that the things in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops, to at least continue to pray for grace and mercy for his people. And the one thing that we better be doing is pleading the blood of Jesus over ourselves, our families, because that's the only thing that's going to cleanse and protect us.
Absolutely.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, there was two articles. One was on Rush Limbaugh, and the other one, I can't remember where it was, but they said this, you know, I don't know how to pronounce it either. Omnibus, whatever it is.
Omnibus, yeah.
Omnibus was designed to destroy President Trump's presidency. And, you know, I mean, it's obvious that there's war being waged right there, you know, in Washington, D.C., and that's become more evident as time has went on. But, I mean, I believe that that's one of the things that was that they were trying to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, the words of our pastor kind of ring in my ears. Hope against hope, right? I mean, we're fighting a spiritual battle. There's no doubt about it. And it's an unseen war, just as our pastor taught us.
Yes.
So the things that we see, there's, you know, God could be working. I mean, whatever he does to deliver his people, it's going to be something that there's no way that a human can claim.
Yes, I agree.
Right?
Yep.
It has to be the biggest miracle that anyone has ever seen that lives on the face of the earth right now, for them to finally give him the credit for the deliverance of a nation, if that's what he chooses to do. And the bottom line is, it depends on how many people are literally falling upon their face and crying out and asking for God for grace and mercy and praying for wisdom and understanding and fervently praying specifically that those things in the dark would be brought to the light. Because I know that that's an answer to prayer. God save America, the mighty weapon, all of these things that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has led this ministry to do. We're witnessing the effect of that, the anointing oil, especially that, the fact that the Washington Monument has been shut down. I think they don't understand what's going on. They don't understand how President Trump was elected. They don't understand why their wicked, evil plans to basically destroy this country by 2020 haven't taken fruition. And it's nothing but the grace of God. Still having a love for his people and his JERUSALEM.
Yeah. Well, and a while back... Go ahead. Well, a while back...
I thought it was interesting. I did a little look up there for the word omnibus just because I wondered what it meant. And it's Latin.
That's a good idea.
It means for all. So it's kind of a misnomer of terms. I mean, basically, that's like Christian satanic. I mean, it's a melting pot philosophy. We're back to that melting pot. Well, we're a Christian nation, but they want to roll everything in there for everybody, you know. And you know, what fellowship does light have with darkness? So it's not exactly a good word, I don't think.
Well, all you have to do really is look at what's going on in South Africa. I mean, the bottom line is they've disarmed those people for the most part. I mean, I think they're allowed to have one rifle or something like that, but they don't have, you know, the Second Amendment rights that we have in this country. And basically now the leadership that's overthrown, the old leadership, has decided that white farmers in South Africa that have owned these farms for generations, they're producers of food for the whole country, they no longer deserve to have their property anymore. And they've given legal authority for the blacks to come in and just take their property.
Take
and
their property, yep.
Willingly, then they can kill them. And the police and the government ain't doing nothing about it. So nope. Just remember that when you think you're not, you know, supposed to be fighting for our rights to bear arms.
Yeah,
and that's a strike against God's way of doing things too, because, you know, if you think about it, from the Garden of Eden forward, God's people have been close to the land, part of the land, you know, that kind of stuff. And there we are seeing them thrown off.
Yeah, and it's a genocide that's going on over there, but we don't hear anything about that.
It's a dual genocide, because after the whites are all gone, the blacks are going to starve to death.
Yep.
Exactly.
Historically.
Just like they did in Haiti and all the other countries that the workers, plantation workers rose up and killed the white plantation owners. And then, as far as I know, they sold off the land to, was it Russia that came in and clear cut that? And
destroyed it. Just completely destroyed it. Made it a wasteland.
Yeah.
And that's happened time and time again. I mean, in different places and over there. That, I mean, it's going to happen again. It's you know, they don't understand that those people, those were a lot of those are white Caucasian people that settled that land over there in South Africa and a large part of Africa. They came from, you know, a lot of them came from Denmark. A lot of them came from, I mean, they're Swede. They're, you know, they're our people. They're our race. And they went over there, and they're the ones that built that country and turned it into what it is. They built the roads, they built the streets, they built the commerce, they, you know, built the financial system, they built the trade. They cultivated that land and turned those places into farms. Those farms just weren't always there. They built them from the ground up, from cutting down the trees and clearing the land to, you know, doing everything, to building the irrigation ditches and the water system, and you know, they're talking about destruction, taking it away from them. I guess Australia just opened up and said, well, we got plenty of land, and if you guys want to go, you need some place to go, you guys can come over here. As far as, because they're talking about having refugees, white refugees leaving Africa because it's gotten so bad. And I've talked to several people that have went over there, and you know, they cannot believe that people don't understand and don't hear about what is going on over there. And you hear horror stories after horror story about you know, the murder, the rape, the destruction, and I mean, it's just, I mean, it's almost, it's hard to believe when you hear somebody that's been over there talk about it, and we really no idea what's going on over there.
Mm-hmm. The torture that goes on. I mean, essentially, they're a lot, you know, those people are a lot like the Native American Indians. They enjoy to watch people suffer and the screaming. And, I mean, what I've read is they basically come into a household, they subdue the patriarch, and then they rape or dismember or whatever the wife and the children while the husband watches, and then kills him.
Yep. Yeah, it's just really, really bad.
Yeah, I was reading an article this morning as well that Turkey now calls evangelism an act of terrorism, and they charged an American pastor who was there trying to spread the gospel with terrorism for spreading the gospel. And he's been in jail for going on 500 days now. But something that was interesting to me was the percentage of Christians in Turkey fell from 20% in 1914 to 5.5% in 1927 to between 0.2% and 2% today.
Wow.
But what's happening there
is that that guy's name who runs that country, Aragon or something. He's not Aragon, but Erdogan, Erdogan, President Erdogan. They're basically saying what he's doing is he's setting up the Muslim nations to rise up in a global caliphate. And that's kind of what's been going on with these infiltration of the illegal aliens throughout Europe. I mean, parts of Europe are pretty much lost, in my opinion, without God's intervention. And that was their plan for the U.S. too, if it wasn't for his grace and mercy. But what a lot of people miss, though, is that the Catholic Church is largely responsible for bringing in all of those immigrants, illegal aliens, into this country under the guise of humanitarian aid. But make no mistake, they've made themselves rich, including a lot of the Lutheran organizations and a lot of the different Protestant organizations. They're getting rich by getting X amount for every head that they bring into this country and resettle. And Jason, you know firsthand, as we tried to rent a property in Wyoming, that 90% of the calls you got were from these organizations that are set up just to find housing for these people that they're bringing into this country. And that's in Wyoming. So that just tells you how it's going in the rest of the country, but that's what's going on in Wyoming.
Exactly. Well, and that's one of the things that they've done. They've, especially with these refugees, and they come in with these plans to put them, and they strategically place them where they want to place them. And they try to find, I mean, that's the reason that Minnesota is to the state that it's in right now, is because you look at that was one of the most racially pure areas in the United States at one point in time, and it wasn't that many years ago. And they brought those, and I know our enemies are just sitting back and looking, saying, oh, well, you know, we got there, and here's a bunch of good Christian people that are racially pure. We have to destroy that. And next thing you know, then they start bringing in the refugees, and they plant them right there in the middle of it.
Yeah. Bit of encouraging news this week. I saw a blip on it, but you remember, like you said, Minnesota, there's a huge Somali population right outside of Minneapolis, and they were toting a year or so ago on how they're, you know, raising up these Somalian police officers. And then if you remember that police officer who shot the white Australian woman who ran up to the car in her pajamas because she called 911 thinking that there was a rape going on in the alley behind her house, and the Somalian police officer shot across. But they charged him with murder now.
They did, so, good.
Yeah.
Yes, so I've seen that too. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
They make a lot of people pay for their own destruction in this whole thing too, because just like you said, they're using government funding and relief agency funding and everything else to bring those people over and to set them up. And it's like, you know, people really need to be careful where they're sending their donations and their humanitarian aid to, because it's like you don't want to pay for your own destruction as regards those sort of things. And I'm like you, there's parts of Europe right now that have just, I think it was Sweden. It's just unreal up there. And some of the, you know, Sweden, I mean, what do you think of when you think of Sweden? You don't think of those kind of refugees going in, but I know there are rapes and murders and a lot of that kind of stuff. Kidnappings have gone up thousands of percent in the last year or so. So, and, you know, that's, of course, when they get in there and get to where they can vote, which is this big deal with a lot of these bills and movements in Congress trying to set up these illegal aliens to be able to vote, of course they'd like to take the ability to defend yourself out of your hands, because that makes their work. They're already criminals. They're already in the country illegally, so they are criminals, and criminals don't respect any of the laws as regards that kind of stuff anyways. So it just makes it solidifies their position, you know.
Yeah, I'll share a story with you. One of the men I work with, he had been saving for quite some time to take his family to California to a nice beach vacation in San Diego. Well, let's, you know, not too long ago, maybe just a few years ago, San Diego was considered still a refuge, at least compared to L.A. and you know, far south California. But he went, and they got a real nice hotel right across from the beach, and got up. You know, they got in late, flew in late one day, got up, and the hotel has a shuttle that takes you to the beach. Well, they had all of their, you know, they got two children, so they had their sand toys and their chairs and all that stuff, and the hotel shuttle took them out there, dropped them off on the beach, and they're out there playing on the beach, and kids are in the water and building sandcastles and stuff, and some ranger comes up in a SUV and says, "What are you doing out here?" And he says, "Oh, we're kind of wondering why nobody was out here." Well, they closed the beach because Tijuana, the Tijuana River, which is just their sewage, every time it rains, that Tijuana River overflows and dumps right into the ocean. And there was so much E. coli in the water that they had to close the beach. But nobody, I mean, there were small signs, but they didn't see that. Well, anyways, he said he will never go back to California because just getting into even San Diego, there was all these tent communities. There's trash and garbage. And, I mean, it looks like a third world country. Well, that's their design, is to try to make all of these countries the same. But to hear that firsthand from someone, now he ended up complaining to the management. They gave him back every dime that he spent, and he ended up going to a different location. But still, the fact that that's San Diego. I mean, I remember it wasn't 5 years ago that San Diego was different than Southern, you know, than L.A.
It was 4 or 5 years ago. It's been when I was out there, and it was still nice. I mean, it was the nice, clean. There was, you know, for the most part, I mean, they had parts, but it was a very enjoyable, clean, safe place to go.
Well, you make it a sanctuary state, and that's what happens. So, I mean, I'm all for building the wall, but anymore, you're wondering if we should build the wall.
Where we should build the boundaries.
Yeah, where does it go?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or at least have one-way gates.
Interesting, too, tying into the Bible. Turkey is where the seat of Satan is located. I remember I did a message on that quite a few years ago on Pergamos and how that's located in Turkey. But in Revelation 2:12-16, it says, "And to the angel," which could be a pastor, "of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with the two edges, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast stumbling blocks before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Thou hast also them that hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitan, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." So, I mean, when you see that there's this uprising in Turkey to the point where they're calling evangelism terrorism, and the president boldly proclaiming that he's calling for a global caliphate, we're witnessing biblical prophecy.
Absolutely.
It's exciting times.
Oh, absolutely. No shortage of things to pray for and against, that's for sure.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. And smile at the future.
I've seen...
Yeah.
Go right ahead, Jason.
No, I mean, I was just saying, and smile at the future. You know, I mean, that's one of the things is, you know, when he returns, will he find face? He's asking a question, you know, and absolutely, you know, he, you know, that's our job is to have faith. And that's what we need to hang on to right now. You know, it's, you know, stand firm. You know, this week, you know, a while back, me and John were talking about, you know, how we've let so many of these things into even our, just into our communities. And, you know, I've known that, you know, I'm supposed to go to these city council meetings for a while, and finally ended up last Tuesday, I believe it was, I went to one. And they had one down here in right here in the community that I live in, and was able to go down there. And, you know, it was eye-opening to see how these people, there's, you know, there's different kinds of people, and they gravitate towards these positions of power. And it's, you know, they're there and they want to, you know, they want to dictate, you know, how we run businesses here in our community, how our roads go in this community, how we have, and, you know, they're there to, we want more laws, we want more protection, we want to ban diesel vehicles, we want to stop this, we want to stop that, you know, and it just did me. And I got so upset and so irritated, but I looked at them and I can tell that they were all people that most of them were back from New York that were there, that were, had gotten those positions of city council members. And well, these ones were from mostly from New York, and you know, they left New York because they didn't like it there. Now they want to come here and make it just like it was when it, where they left. And you know, at the same time, it infuriates you, but at the same time, it's like, you know what, you know, we've let it go on too. I mean, there hasn't been people that have went there and tried to get into those positions and put a stop to it. And it, sometimes it takes so little effort to stop it. You know, and it's, you know, but we've got, it's a way of fighting back. And I think that, you know, we really need to do that. You know, we've talked about it, and in the past we've encouraged people to do that, to go to their meetings and stuff like that. And, you know, I hadn't been to one in a long time, and, you know, there was some issues here up in our community, and I wanted to be there for it. And sometimes it just takes saying so little to get people to, it's like you say something and it breaks a spell, and it's like, oh, okay, there's a different thought. They're so conditioned to these thoughts being contagious and them just going down like sheep to a slaughter, just running down that alleyway. They can't think about anything else, and they can't go any other direction.
You know, I think if you just show up there and you're praying for confusion to come into the camp, you're praying for guardian and warring angels to battle Leviathan, because there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, there's satanic assignments that are sent out, and people are doing the bidding of their father, the devil.
Yep.
But we have more power than them. Remember, Luke 10:19 says, I've given you authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents
and over all the power of the enemy.
And nothing by any means shall harm you. Now, that's a promise of God. One thing God can't do is lie.
Amen.
That means that's a promise that we can claim.
Yep.
But I think we've been wrong in the past. And if you look at what Richard Hoskins said in one of the messages that you recently played, he said, that's a mistake that we've made as a people. We haven't gotten involved in government because
I agree.
The Christians have been weeded out. Remember, the early founders, you could not hold an office if you were a Catholic. You had to proclaim that Jesus Christ was your Lord and Savior.
And the Son of God.
I don't know if they were baptized, don't know any of that, but I know one thing. They had to at least proclaim that Jesus Christ was their Lord and Savior before they could hold any office. And if we can't get back to that point, then we're never going to take this country back.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, we are out of time. Gentlemen, thank you for being here this morning. Folks, hope you make it to church tomorrow.
Thank you.
We are going out.
In the story of Gideon, the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. God punished Israel by enslaving them to the Midianites, who oppressed them greatly by taking their crops and settling on their land. That kind of thing only happened in the Bible, right? Wrong. In America's Perils, a repeat of the Gideon story, Pastor Peter J. Peters reveals what happened to Israel of old is happening to America today. America's Perils explains how America is being oppressed through economic hardship, excessive taxation, and unchecked immigration. More importantly, this pamphlet explains what America did to displease the Lord and the solution to America's current woes. Order America's Perils by sending $1 to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado 80535, or order online at scripturesforamerica.org. Romans 13 can be hard for Christians to understand. What should be our relationship with the government? When do authorities step outside their lawfully appointed powers? Where should Christians draw the line? In Authority, Resistance, or Obedience, Pastor Peter J. Peters answers questions like these. Authority, Resistance, or Obedience also explains the difference between a godly government that Christians should obey and an ungodly one that should be resisted. To order Authority, Resistance, or Obedience, send $4 to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766. 6 LaPorte, Colorado 80535, or go to scripturesforamerica.org.